Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. As it is appointed for men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When our Creator placed us in the Garden of Eden, he gave us instruction not to die, but to live. All the blessings God gave us in his grace. At the moment of giving us the gift of life, our Lord gave us all. There was no way we could deserve any part of it. When we turned away from the Lord in our sin, our violation of his sound instruction for life and living, we deserved his condemnation and judgment. God's perfect justice demands punishment for sin. Hebrews 10:28. God is not indifferent toward sin. Every trespass is an offense against his holiness. With our sin we obstruct the flow of God's grace, thus depriving our souls of full blessedness, true fellowship in Christ's Spirit, and undisturbed joy of his salvation. Man's rebellion against the Creator was followed by God's declaration of judgment against sin and restricted grace of God. Decision to sin is rejection of God's grace. The final judgment was postponed and grace continued in parts not rejected by men yet. Luke 6:35. This much the world is redeemed. Elected men are redeemed and completely saved for eternal glory. Hebrews 11:4. I perceive God's purpose in giving limited grace to the sinners that will never repent. God's goal is not to give so much to the men, wasting all and themselves, ending in everlasting perdition. I conclude that all the gifts of God's mercy given to the permanent sinners, the Lord gave for the benefit of his elected souls, for in them his Son is glorified. After sin, we see God's order of death and judgment. In John 5:25-29, the Lord Jesus told us so much in a few words, and it is because of him, the Lord Jesus, that there is such a huge difference between the two sides in the resurrection. In the human earthly journey, one side is trusting and obeying the Savior, but the other side is not accepting the Father's grace offered in the Son. In John 12:31-32, we see the judgment of God's enemy. Obeying our Savior, we justify God, condemn our adversary, acknowledge our sin, and receive our justification on the merit of our Redeemer. We become his family and his property. We are looking forward to his appearance to finish his salvation. Every man not believing the Son remained in death and condemnation, and is aiming to the judgment. The difference between the two sides is so great and so important. It is worthy of all the differences between the sides all the while we are pilgrims, laborers, and warriors in Christ our Savior and Lord. How colossal and awesome is that offering, offered since the foundation of the world and remaining in its full value and power forever. Revelation 5:12-14. As we are nearing the eternity, the verse number 14 is beaming brighter and brighter. Through the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself spotless to God. for us. The godly Israelites received God's testimony and assurance through the old ordinances. They were clean. If some of the Hebrews rejected the gospel salvation in Christ, they clearly indicated a very sad fact. They were not true believers in the old ordinances before they heard the Father's gospel in His Son. The sacrificial animals had their market value, Deuteronomy 14:22-27. Christ's offering is priceless. This precious ransom is offered to the penitent sinners as a gift, 1 Peter 1:19 and Matthew 11:25-30. Levitical priesthood was mainly for Israel. After an old high priest passed away, a younger one was ordained. Christ is the high priest forever to all that trust and obey Him, Matthew 28:18-20 and Acts 10:34-35. Two sons of Aaron died in their trespass before the altar of the Lord, Leviticus 10:1-2. Ananias and Sapphira fell dead before Peter, Acts 5:1-11. These were exposed examples of God's judgment against human self-deception and cooperation with Satan. How many others died in their sin, lost forever? The covenant with Abraham God has enjoined to Israel, verse 20. It was commanded to the people. All the faithful Israelites were blessed. All the negligent and rebellious suffered consequences. At God's appointed time, He sent the Savior to spread the wings of His mercy and grace over the entire humanity. All that received the gospel were blessed with a new life in Christ, to continue following the Master's leading all the way into that blessed and glorious eternity. All that turn away from the Lord and die in their sins have no hope of everlasting life. The Lord has grace and power to preserve His children in Christ. These two verses, 27 and 28, present to us a greatly abbreviated history, not only of the mankind, but also of the universe God has created and has never abandoned in spite of so much corruption and spiritual and moral decay. The awful great flood in Genesis chapters 6-8 is only a testimony foretelling God's judgment. The judgment of Sodom and the other cities destroyed in Genesis 19 is only a prelude of the final and everlasting doom all the rebellious sinners have chosen by rejecting God's grace in Christ, Matthew 10:15. The nature of sin is violation of the laws of the universe created and blessed by the Creator. Rebellion against the Almighty is self-destruction and everlasting doom. As the Lord Jesus Christ is God's high priest of everlasting life, so is Satan the priest of destruction and everlasting death. As we can see in Ezekiel 32, and some other passages in the scriptures. All the victims of Satan are slaves of sin and death. In the day we rebelled against God, we died. But the final judgment was postponed, and the place was reserved for the priest of everlasting life to offer himself as the Lamb of God and to rise as the Savior of the fallen race, Genesis 3:14-15. God's justice is condemning every sin. Sinners in sin are condemned. Salvation is in Christ. Sins of all genuine Christians have been condemned and judged already on Calvary. Christ offered himself. He laid down his own life, suffered God's judgment in his own body and soul for the sinful humanity. He died and rose up for all the believers he came to save. He paid for our salvation. Now we are not our own. We do not belong to the world. Satan is not our owner and master. Christ is our Lord, Savior, Master, Owner, our all. He died to give me the will and power to die with him to my own will and desires. He reigns to give me power to live in him and for him, striving for full obedience. Dying with Christ to all godless enticements and living in him to please the Father, I am rejoicing in his great and marvelous salvation and life everlasting. He transferred my soul from the realm of darkness into his kingdom. With all of his redeemed ones, I partake of his victory, waiting for his ultimate triumph. He is coming to complete his salvation, to make his redeemed ones ready for his glory. 1 Corinthians 15:51-57. These two verses, 27 and 28, are in a way parallel and in a way opposite to one another. Number 27 points to the position and the direction of the world in sin. And we were once with them in the same dangerous predicament. Verse 28 is the expectation of the redeemed whose life is in Christ. His return is their joy. Christ offered himself since the foundation of the world, chapter 4, verse 3. This offering is through the eternal Spirit, chapter 9, verse 14. Here, in the verse 28, he will appear to the redeemed ones to spell the end of sin and woe, to usher in the endless joy and eternal jubilee of both the heavenly hosts and all the redeemed ones in his kingdom. The entire ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in presenting to us his gospel and completing his work for our salvation, he has done to honor the heavenly Father. In Christ, the Father is perfectly pleased, fully satisfied. Every sin is an offense to the Father's honor and a grief to the heart of the Son. Matthew 17:17. In Genesis 3:9-24, we learn God's attitude toward transgressors. He questioned Adam and Eve. But for the originator of sin, God has only condemnation. To man, the Lord offers understanding consequences of sin and time and opportunity for repentance. For Satan, God ordered only judgment. Satan has no savior. In Ephesians 4:29-30, we learn how urgent it is for us to obey the Lord wholeheartedly. In Ephesians 4:29-30, we learn how urgent it is for us to obey the Lord wholeheartedly. In Luke 10, we see the condemnation of rejecting the gospel as greater than the judgment against Sodom, verse 14. Hebrews 10:26 presented to us similar pattern and perspective as we see in Matthew 12:43-45. At this moment, I would recommend listening to the presentations on Matthew 12 and Luke 10 at this website. So much we receive of the abundant grace of our Lord. So many opportunities He gave us to be His living testimony, encouragement to brethren, and invitation to sinners. So much. We owe Him our lives. In all of His provisions, we are blessed in faithfulness, but condemned and self-destructive in rebellion. We look forward to His appearance when we live in Him and He rules in our heart and daily walk. If we live in sin, we are among those who will call on the mountains to hide them from the face of the judge. Luke 23:30. All the blessings are in Christ. God's condemnation is against sin and Satan. These two verses, 27 and 28, are helping us to look into God's marvelous grace in Christ, to check our hearts as we are admonished in 2 Peter 1:10. Our Heavenly Father has all the grace and power needed to keep us prayerful in Christ. Even in these days when godlessness abounds and godliness seems to be diminishing, we find our true delight in the fellowship of our blessed Savior's Spirit. Let us continue in prayers, strive to keep ourselves in self-denial, to encourage one another in Christ's Spirit, and reach out to sinners with His gospel. In 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 21, we do well to rely on God's Word, the light dispersing darkness of sin and deception. That way the light of Christ's power is in our hearts, growing brighter, to cast out and away the false stars of vanity and pride. In these three verses, Peter describes so much, and the epistle to the Hebrews fits in. Beyond any imagination will be the experience of seeing our Savior and Master as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now we cherish the special moments when we see our Redeemer protecting and guiding us. When we see Him as He is, we will be transformed, sinless, and enabled to ever adore Him.